Welcome to Single Parent Success Stories, a podcast designed to inspire single parents. Here you'll find resources from self-care to finances to parenting and everything in between. Discover what it takes to thrive. Let the stories inspire you to what is possible. What kind of advice would you share to for single parents who are just stepping onto the journey of single parenting?
I've been a few different types of single parent. So there's always a range, right? Even within that single parenting. And so I did reconnect with my son's dad after he was born shortly. We lived together for two more years and raised him. So he was around when he was a toddler. And I feel really grateful for that because I don't think I would have trusted his abilities as a dad. And for that matter, me as a mom, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. We figured it out together. And that was a great time for us. And I think that it was also very helpful to our son. And so I would just say that so that I have co-parented, if you want to call that being a single parent, co-parenting. And now I am a solo parent. My teenager lives with me. He's wants to live with just me and his dad. I can't speak for him, but let's just say that he's chosen other things in his life that he feels are more important or valuable to him. And interestingly enough, perhaps is telling himself the story that my mom told herself that, you know, I have the home or I have it together and he's not needed anymore. I can't put words in his mouth, but isn't it interesting how the universe will replicate situations for us to go through again, right? And so they're open to have a relationship. I just don't get involved with it anymore. That was a lot of time that I spent with my emotional energy was trying to stoke the fire between the two of them to have a connected relationship. Perhaps they will later in life. Again, it's not up to me to decide. I really did offer tons of opportunities, but now that he's almost 15, you know, I'm going to let my son decide how much he wants to engage with his dad. And so I've been a couple of different types of single parent, and now I'm a full-on solo parent. And I actually find it easier because I've closed that emotional loop that I was talking about. That was draining. That was very energy draining, trying to communicate between the two of them. So there's a three-way messaging thing, and it's not the way that I would do things. And then he would forget to pick him up to take him to a soccer game. And I now just get other soccer parents to help me to take him to his game. I now get his grandfather to help me take him to his refereeing practice. I've opened up my village of people so that it doesn't just include getting help from his dad. And that's been a real big change for me in the last year is just asking for help from other people. And I want to share that it's not just asking for help, but it's giving other people an opportunity to be with your child. You know, your child is a special person and has their own qualities, and they act differently around their parents. So how great is it for them to cultivate their own relationship with other soccer parents or with their grandfather or their aunt that you aren't involved in, you know, because, hey, if anything happens to you, you know, whatever that may be, your child has the village that you've created for them too. So I think really thinking about the way that you want them to experience this world is very important because it's not just you. I know that you do a lot of things, but they might move away. You might get injured. You know, God forbid something happens and you're not able to be with them anymore. Like you pass away or you're in the hospital for a long period of time. So these are things that we have to think about as single parents, is creating that village of what we want our child to observe and be supported by.
I love that. I never looked at it like that. But I love how you say, you know, you give the child the opportunity to build that relationship with somebody else when you're not involved.
Yes, because as annoying as they are to us sometimes, well, as a teenager, they're beautiful people. Like it's a gift. It's a gift to have him in your life. And it's a gift to have me in someone's life too. Like, let's remember that we are gifts. And so it's not asking a favor to spend time with someone. It should be, it's a joy.
That's right. It's a joy. And they behave differently when they're with you, and you kind of see another side of them that you didn't notice before.
My son, sometimes he can't stop talking at dinner tables with certain people, right? He goes on and on telling stories and this and that. And I'm like, who is this person? But he can't develop that side of himself unless I give him those opportunities. And so we need to put our children in different opportunities so they can grow as a human being. And that doesn't mean that we're helping them. And it doesn't mean we're saying, what did you do today? Or tell them about school or like prompting them. It's letting them talk for 30 minutes about the video game they're playing, if that's what the conversation is that drives them. It's just letting them be them and self have their own self-concept and identity.
Totally. And speaking of that, what do you think is the most important trait to instill in a child?
Well, right now, I think it is their individualism. And, they're learning a lot about neurodiversity and different people, and at least in school, here they are. And I love that. And it's that, no one's normal. No one's the same. No one is there. Like, there is, these things don't exist. It's like perfection. It's just a word we use. And so you might as well double down on being yourself because it's way more fun just to be yourself. Even if it seems weird or no one's doing it or whatever, that'll be the thing that sets you apart. It's like, even think about it career-wise. They don't need more average people. They need that person who excels in that one area. And who knows, it could be something to do with tech. It could be something to do with social media, right? How skilled are they at social media? It could be the way that they the way they can use Chat GPT, things that we don't really know about. And it will be encouraging that uniqueness in them because that uniqueness in them will bring them so much joy personally. And it will allow them to connect with people that create their future with it. It could be their career.
Yeah, be a specialist instead of a generalist. Be 1,000 miles deep instead of 1,000 miles wide.
Fly your weird flag happily. Do that.
Totally. What allowed you to, like, when you were going through single parenting, was there some struggles that you faced, or everything was smooth?
The struggles that I faced were, I would say, mostly initially when it happened, because I found there was a lot of judgment about, well, having other relationships, when, either the other person or yourself gets into another intimate relationship. That's a challenging first, I would say, when you're separated. And it can be things like, one of the parents takes your child to a party and they're up too late, and then they get a cold, and that's when they get delivered to you the next day. So there's like some judgment on you shouldn't have done that, and now you're giving it to me. And I have thought many times, I have patched people up, like patched kids up, the sleep and the food and the homework, and get it all done and give them to the other parent, and they get all like ruined again, and then they come back to you. I'm sure many parents feel this way, where it's like you're the triage, and that's not a helpful thought either. And it would be using your voice. Sometimes you need to share with the other parent, and it's removing emotion and using factual, contextual things like, I'd like to discuss an appropriate bedtime that we can sort of stick to for both of our homes. How does that sound to you? Not, I can't believe you kept them up till 11 and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's about unhooking from the person and engaging in respectful conversation and using your voice. Don't assume that they know. So, is to keep in conversation respectfully would be so helpful to a lot of single parents. And even if the other person comes at you disrespectfully, don't let them invade your space. Don't let them drain your energy. There's been times where I've seen a text that is very loaded emotionally and judgmental, and I've just gone back to pick out, so did you mean you were coming at 8:30 or not? Or like, I don't get involved in the emotion of it or the judgment of it. I just say, was that a yes or a no to picking him up tomorrow? Like, just stick to the facts. It's like being your own lawyer, because you preserve your own energy and you're also teaching them how to speak to you. And that's really important.
You're right, because if you say nothing, that they assume that that's how you're supposed to behave and it's acceptable. Totally. What helped you overcome your challenges? Was there a guide, a coach, a book you read? What helped you on your way?
It's interesting you ask that question. I'm a very lifelong learner type of person, and I didn't actually dive into single parenting books or courses because I felt like I already had an encyclopedia on it of what not to do from my childhood. And really what I did was focus on myself. I just focused all my energy on myself. Because I think that the greatest challenge in being a single parent is just getting run down. Like, you're just tired, right? Because you're physically tired, you're working, there's not enough of you. Like, there's just not enough of you to see your friends and be your own person and work out and go to work and then parent your child and dread. So I focused on myself. And I had to have boundaries with myself, and I had boundaries for my child. Like, Mondays were always gym day, or for me, I'd go to the gym. Once a month, I would go out with my friends and either make sure that like he had a sleepover at a grandparent's house, or perhaps they came here and watched him. But like, I realized that I told myself a story that if I went out, my child might think that I don't care about him or love him. Because that was my story as a kid. So checking my own, like it, I got to relive a lot of experiences with having a child, as a lot of us do. And actually go to the layers of why you're having these thoughts and feelings, because it's not helpful to put your childhood thoughts and feelings on your child. And so I needed to make sure that I had fun going out with my friends once a month, and that you have a life outside of just single parenting. And that might be trading, even trading with your best friend. You might think, well, I want to go out with you, but they might be the one that you trust having your child with. So perhaps you go out with some work friends or something on that night. But you've got to carve out your own time, because your child needs to see their parent having fun. They really do. It makes you a better parent. The more rest you can get, getting your sleep, not. I find that it's hard to not want to decompress at the end of the night, and perhaps that means Netflix in bed. Really try to limit that stuff so that you can get up early in the morning and have your own time. Having your sacred morning start before your child gets up is very important to set the tone for your day. And I have a guide for that if somebody doesn't have a morning routine, but that allows you to feel like you're going to make it. It really does. Whether it's 10 minutes, 5 minutes, it allows you to feel like we're doing this. I've got this today.
Totally. I totally agree with you. Having a sacred morning is awesome. I also created an online course for morning routine, how to set your soul on fire in the morning. And it's so important. You're so right. Having that time for yourself. But I love how you said it. Your child need to see you being happy, having fun. They need to see you doing life, not just being this one type of person, but to have to see and experience different facets of you. Not just in your role as a mom, but your roles as a human being, as how you kind of interact and live. So it's not one-sided.
And that also has to do with they see you being a friend to your friends. They see you being a child with your parent, with their grandparents. Like, they view you in different, they're learning from you how to be different things. And in intimate relationships, like, it's hard because when you're dating, you don't involve your child for a certain period of time because it's just not appropriate. And then they get to see you being intimate with someone, whereas in a nuclear family or a, they might see a mom and dad being intimate. Perhaps, I mean, it doesn't happen in some households. They have moms and dads that are not intimate, but it's your job to teach them about intimacy. So it's like, how are you going to do that? That's a way that feels comfortable and safe for you because you're modeling the relationship they're gonna move into in life.
Totally, totally. Was there a book you read that have transformed your life or changed for the better that you can recommend?
The book that I read that changed my life when I was about 19 was called The Buddha Within. And I believe the author is Surya Lamas Das, or I'm saying the name incorrectly, but it was the book that I read that was somewhat generalist about Buddhism, but it was, I read it and I thought, this is the world I want to live in. Like, where it's about kindness and energy. And there was this lack of judgment and shoulds. And I thought, this is how I want to feel. I connected so deeply with it. And that allowed me to know that there are people like me out there, that I could create the community that I really wanted, and that family could be created by me, meaning by best friends, by connections. Even I call something work family that people undervalue very much. And it's the people that you see at work every day that people don't realize how important they are, you to them and them to you, that can change your life. We have all these connections that we don't utilize that can be our pillars of strength for us. And so that was the first book that showed me there was a different way of being, which was not judgment. It was open and caring and sharing. Wisdom, though, it wasn't just accepting. I don't want to say accepting negativity, but there's this thought about acceptance. Well, if someone has really poor behavior, treats me badly, am I just supposed to accept it? No. There's a way that you can respond to it, though. And I think that's the big difference, is you learn how to respond to things the way you want to.
Love that. I love. I'm gonna re check that book out. Sounds interesting.
I
What?
should reread it now and see how I feel about it. The Power of Now would be another book by Eckhart Tolle that really changed my life profoundly at that time. And I have to say, love reading books about finances. I think finances are a key to shifting people's lives and investing the way that feels really good for you. So I'm reading right now Tony Robbins' book on wealth mastery. And he breaks down some wealth habits from, of course, his connections, which are amazing. Hedge fund, people that run hedge funds, to people that do Kickstarters, to people that are developing AI, and breaks it down into general terms that we can understand.
Learning from somebody who already done it and is successful in it. Totally. What led you to become, Tanya Robbins coach?
I remember watching him when I was about 13 years old. I don't even know. Was it like DVDs back then? Perhaps it was on TV. But I watched him. He would have a breakthrough with someone. He would get them to stand up from the crowd. They would share their issue with the topic he was talking about. And in moments, he would be able to discern where it came from, why, and what it meant to them. Because a lot of us have this affront that we put up. We have this guard that we deflect things off of. And it's like he could read right through why this was happening. And then people soften, right? They go like, you get me. I'm not actually a jerk or a husband that does this or a wife that does it. I'm like, I'm this person. He sees why they do it, their armor. And I just thought, I want to know how to do that. I want to connect with people that way. And that was really, I've always been this person who wants to help people. The difference is some people don't want to be helped, right? Some people just want to share their issues and their problems, and they're not ready to move through them. Well, I want to help the people that really want to change because it requires effort on your part to change. And so I've been a coach, ever since I can remember. But I first got into fitness. I got into weight training. I was a fitness instructor. I wanted to coach people with their health and wellness. And then I got into the food and wine industry. And it's funny, but it's a way of coaching because it's such a pleasure in life, food and wine, right? It's a daily pleasure. And so I got to help people make these choices, these pairings. I would spend hours with them. I spent a lot of time with them. They would tell me about their families. They would bring in their families. It was this interesting type of connection that I had with them. And it was also sales in a non-salesy way. Like if somebody wanted a $1,000 bottle of Bordeaux, I wasn't thinking I was selling it to them. I was serving them. They wanted it. I wanted them to have this experience. And I just share that because that's what coaching is like, is it's not a product or a service. It's an experience. And it's knowing what somebody really wants. And you have to check that too. You've got to check with people why they want what they want, because it might be a misguided desire. They might actually want something different than what their brain is telling them. And that's something that we work with. But laying out those steps of how to get there authentically, like authenticity is the ultimate goal with getting any coaching, because you're taking off all this armor and these layers and the past and the traumas, and somewhere deep down, that layer of the onion is you. And we got to get to that spot to make you happy and you fulfilled. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, because you know this is going to be a sustaining thing for the rest of your life.
I love that. And I also kind of watched Tony Robbins, and I love how he was able in a matter of seconds or minutes to figure out what's wrong and how to fix it. And it's just incredible being able to connect with a person on such a level. And just like you said, being able to serve them, not selling anything, but just getting down to the core problem and getting to that piece that's like kind of block that preventing them from moving forward. Are there
Yeah,
any?
and asking them if they really want to change too, right? Because that's a big question people don't ask, is sometimes they're okay with where they're at, and or they don't want to change. They know what the problem is, but they don't want to change. You can think of people's diets that way, right? Or say someone's a smoker. They probably know that they shouldn't be smoking, but they're really not ready to do anything about that right now. Perhaps one day they will be. And that is the unique thing, is that we always have choice. And just like we have this choice over ourselves, we need to choose a different outcome. Like I was just sharing with someone this morning that sometimes we say, oh, I don't want this. I don't want to feel overwhelmed. I don't want to feel anxiety. And then someone goes, well, why don't you write out a list, or why don't you write out all the things that you're worried about? Or it's not helpful. What's helpful is knowing how you want to feel. Like my desire for peace overrides anything else in my life right now. So that thought dictates whether I'm going to take an invitation to a dinner party, whether I'm going to take on this particular client, whether I'm going to renovate the bathroom in my house. Like it's like, if peace is my outcome, if that's my guiding light, will this get me there? And if you don't have your anchor thought of what you're going towards, you're willy-nilly with all your decisions, and you can find yourself all over the place and overwhelmed. And just having one anchor thought is so helpful for that.
Totally. It's like having a purpose, having a North Star. Are there any fun projects you're working on that you like to share?
Yes, lots of fun. One of the things that I have too, if people are interested, is I have boundary scripts that are really helpful that you can use with work, your neighbor, with your child. And actually, you need to teach your children good boundaries too, right? And they might have them with you. I'm going through that right now with a 15-year-old. He gets to have his boundaries and I get to respect them. We just make sure that they're, real boundaries at the time and not out of a feeling or anything like that. So I've got that for people. But really, what I'm focusing on right now, honestly, is personal wealth creation. And that is different than what the first thing probably that comes to mind, because wealth can mean so many things. And to me, having community and having a life you love, having supportive money, you don't have to have a ton of money, but having supportive money that allows you to do those things that you want to do, like go on vacation once a year. Even hosting your friends for a dinner party, you think of that does cost some money, right? Like to buy the food and have them over and maybe take the night off work or whatever you need to do. It's having the means of money to support you in your life. And there's ways to create it, there's ways to save it. And these are not typical budgeting or typical money making things, because if we have more money, we have more choice. And as a single parent, that is a big deal. That's a really big deal for us. So giving people the avenue, the ways to make more money, save more money, have more money, feel more supported with money in their life is something I'm focusing on for all those generous souls right now, because we're usually the last people to think of money and we're the best people to have it.
I love that. Yeah, you're right. It is important because money gives you choices. Awesome. If
Money
people
can get you a pedicure too when you need it.
true. Is there anything I haven't asked that you would like to share?
I just want to reinforce that this journey of being a single parent, to be present with it and to not let it pass you by. It's really special. And you've got so many things you can do with this time and so many ways of being that I really just encourage you to think about the way that you want to be during this time, because it's going to be gone very quickly. And you want to have those moments and memories that you did what you wanted to in the time. You're not looking back with reflection saying, I should have done this, I should have done that. If you were to look into your future self, what do you want to be like? What do you want your child to know? And work backwards from that place. Start doing those things daily, whether it's one question at the dinner table that's insightful, whether it's one learning, whether it's involving your village, like just start with one thing.
You're totally right. I love it. Start with one thing. If people would like to connect with you, learn more about you, where would they go?
I'm most active on Instagram and I'm at Marlisa, which is Marlisa underscore the juicy life. And that is my company name. We all deserve to have a juicy life. And they can also find lots of free things through there too. And my website is thejuicylifecoach.com. So that's another way. And I encourage anyone interested to book a What's Possible call, which is where it's free and we go over all the things that you're thinking about, what we can do, what that looks like. And there are no sales, so don't worry about the salesy part. We just look at what's going on and we say, you're at A and you want to go to E, and this is how you get there. That's basically what it is. So it's a clarity call.
Yes, totally. We'll include everything in episode notes. Definitely, it was a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much for sharing your story, your wisdom, and your lessons. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much.